Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on Sirius XM 129. I am Carrie Weber, joined by Father Matt Malone and Olga Segura. And we are talking today, we covered a little bit about immigration, we talked about religious freedom, we talked about Usain Bolt. Obviously those three all go together very nicely. and God in all things here in America. And we're going to be speaking with Simca Fisher coming up, and she is the contributing writer at our website. And she writes for the Catholic Weekly, which is an Australian site. And she's the author of The Sinner's Guide to Natural Family Planning. But before that, we're going to talk a little bit about another piece we have up called Depression Can't Be Explained, But It Must Be Reckoned With. And I think this is something that is it's really important for us to talk about in the church, because a lot of people feel like the church doesn't handle these issues well, or the church is a replacement for the discussion of these issues. So it's nice to see people talking about the sort of the confusion or ambiguity that can surround these things, and then the need for support.
Right, which is really real. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, generally speaking, I think that mental illness and mental hygiene are not they're not really very well understood, and yet they're issues that touch our almost all of our lives in some way, you know. And I think the thing that's particularly tough about it is I've known people, loved people who have struggled with mental illness, and the thing that's really tough about it is it can be it's not always obvious how to help.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. And it's nice, the article we have is by Bishop Robert Morneau, who is the auxiliary bishop emeritus in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So it's nice to see someone in the, you know, the church leadership talking about these issues too, people being willing to be open about it.
Right.
And to talk about, you know, the importance of trying to be there, even if we don't know exactly what the right way to be there is.
Right. I mean, it seems to me that that confession is almost like the original talk therapy, right?
Yeah, I always think about that, because and yet there's always sort of that reminder that it's not
therapy,
right? So like, it's so important to go to confession, but that's not necessarily the place where everything is. It'll be the place where we are absolved of our sin, but not where everything's going to be like sorted out in the exact details, right?
Right.
And I think that's where other help can come in really handy.
Right. And as the scripture says, you know, what you hear in the dark, you must speak in the light. Right? Mm-hmm. There's something in saying things out loud that makes them real to us in a way that they're not when they're just in our hearts or on our minds.
Right. And I think that allows you to let it go as well.
Yeah.
To say it to somebody else outside of your world, your life, and just say, you know, I felt this. I'm not happy I felt this.
Right.
But I did. And now that I've said it, I can walk away from it.
Right. It also robs secrets of their power. Mm-hmm. When you speak them out
right.
loud, and in fact, somebody else who we're remembering this week, Sam Shepard, the great American playwright who died of Lou Gehrig's disease yesterday, I think, or maybe the day before, great American playwright who treated of this very topic, that you know, it's that the secrets at the heart of our lives can be toxic, and they can destroy us. And his work challenged us to bring those things out of darkness and into the light, for healing, really. And you know, that's of course great art does that, and great therapy does that, and the sacraments do that. All agents of grace, right?
Indeed, yeah, and. Here to talk more about that with us is Simca Fisher. Simca, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
So your article is called, I Thought Good Catholics Didn't Need Therapy, and Then I Went. It starts off with a very clever anecdote, you know, of your initial impressions of, you know, who might benefit from, you know, quote unquote, mindfulness or therapy. And you were pretty adamant that it was not you. I wonder if you could tell us about coming from that perspective.
My poor, long-suffering, very patient therapist had to sort of hack his way through a lot of, he's probably used to it, but I had a lot of pretty stupid ideas about what kind of person needs therapy and what therapy might have to offer to you. And the way I explained it was that I sort of basically turn into Richard Nixon occasionally, you know, like, mindfulness, I'll show you mindfulness. Dirty hippies, get out of my way.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people have this idea that therapy is either for people who are really messed up and just, you know, can barely function, or else it's for people who are just sort of navel gazers and they have all the time to sit on the beach in their white pants doing yoga and balancing crystals on their heads. And, you know, I've got 10 kids, I've got a job, I got places to be. That is not me.
Right.
And I didn't think that therapy was for me. I had a lot of, what turned out to be foolish prejudices about what therapy could offer and who it was for.
Right. Was there a moment where you said,
instructive year.
Sure. Was there a moment where you said, okay, you know what, now is the time. What was the turning point for you?
Honest to goodness, the turning point for me was when I got health insurance. I think it was probably long before that when I realized that it really, I wasn't able to just sort of muscle through my problems on my own, and that, I'm heading into my 40s and I don't seem to be leveling off emotionally anywhere soon, and it's probably not going to happen on its own. So not to be facetious, but having health insurance was extremely helpful to me, because first I realized that it would benefit from therapy, and then several years later it was actually possible for me to actually regularly see a therapist. So but I think that a lot of people, probably especially my age and people who are older than me, I'm 42 now, grew up with the idea that you can either work hard and do the right thing and not be a big baby, or else you can see a therapist.
Right.
And it's either one or the other. And when you're a Catholic, that sort of gets compounded by the idea that if you go to the sacraments and you go to confession and you're in a state of grace and you stay close to God and you say your rosary, then you definitely won't need therapy, because, you know, it says over and over again in Scripture that God will heal you and God will save you and God is all that you need. And I have no argument with that whatsoever.
Right.
But I think that what a lot of people don't realize is that the way that God works in the world is to give us many, many different kinds of tools that we can use to come closer to Him. And in my case, therapy certainly turned out to be one of those things. You know, excuse me, it wasn't that therapy was a substitute for grace, and it wasn't that my therapist is a substitute for Jesus by any means. I like the guy, you know. But I think that a lot of people think that you have to choose one or the other. I think that especially among Catholics, I mean, this is something that happened to me just recently. Somebody on Twitter asked me, apparently after having seen my essay on therapy, asked me if I had any advice for how to deal with depression and anxiety, like what's the first step to take. And immediately one of my friends jumped in and said, try the rosary. And I thought, well, maybe he is saying the rosary, or maybe he can't say the rosary because he's too depressed to even get through it. You know, I mean, prayer is not magic, and prayer doesn't do everything we need. I mean, prayer doesn't heal a broken leg most of the time unless there's a miracle. So why would we expect prayer to heal us emotionally or psychologically?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, it's not as if, in my own life, I've availed myself of therapy from time to time and found that it's been extremely helpful and complementary to my spiritual life. Because it's not as if it's like there's this therapy thing that I do over here and then there's this prayer thing I do over here, even though they are distinct and they're different kinds of activity, but they're also very much related. I mean, I'm very often wrestling with the same things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's something that people don't realize. They think that you have to, if you're just not up to snuff with your spiritual life, then I guess you could fall back on therapy. But as you say, they're really, ideally anyway, they're complementary. That's what I've noticed. I thought a lot of the things that were wrong with me, because like everybody else, there is things that are wrong with me. Mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I thought that a lot of the things that were wrong with me were spiritual problems, and it turned out a lot of them were really psychological problems, which were impeding spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. So things that, I mean, learning, for instance, mindfulness, I mean, that came up in my essay a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of people have some negative associations with that word because it sounds kind of squishy and airy and sort of navel-gazing. But, I mean, learning how to be mindful, for me, it just means paying attention. It means, for instance, doing an examination of conscience. That's what could be more Catholic than that. That's a right. kind of mindfulness. It just means looking as objectively as possible over your current state of mind and your current behavior, and deciding whether or not it is what you want to do. You know, acknowledging what you have done, looking at what you want to do, and deciding what are the steps that you can take to do something different if that's what's needed. I mean, that's mindfulness right there. There's a lot of different kinds of mindfulness, but many kinds of it really dovetail very, very well with Catholic theology.
Yeah, and Simca, I come from a background where mental illness is not something discussed in my family. So mm-hmm. it's something that I have not been able to for a long time I couldn't reconcile it with my faith. But you have this beautiful line that you, and I'm going to just quote you here, "The good mental health practices I have been learning with him are strengthening and restoring me, so I am freer to follow Christ." I just thought that was extremely beautiful, and it just put things into perspective for me, because as Matt was mentioning, we so often think of these two areas of our life as completely separate, but just reading your piece, it really made me think, no, like, therapy can help me to be a better Catholic, to just be a better individual on a day-to-day.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes what people don't realize is that is really what a therapist does. A therapist, I have no idea what my therapist believes about religion. Because his job is to find out what my goals are and to help me to achieve my goals. And I don't talk to him a lot directly and overtly about my faith, but he knows basically what what my goals are, and he is helping me to achieve what my goals are. Now, and if somebody else came in and wasn't a Catholic and had different goals, he would be able to help that person in that area, you know, assuming it wasn't their goal to go out and chop everything into pieces or something like that. But I think a lot of the time people get hung up on saying, okay, fine, I guess I'll see a therapist. I guess I have some problems that I can't solve on my own, but it has to be a Catholic therapist. And what I always say is, don't look for a Catholic therapist. Look for a good therapist,
right?
Because a good therapist will help you to become a better Catholic if that's what your goal is. Much better to have a good therapist who's not Catholic than a Catholic who's not a good therapist.
Right.
Believe me, there are some of those. I have read about, you know, I mean, and it's hit or miss sometimes. That's the other thing. I mean, that's the other thing that I was reluctant about when I first started thinking, oh, my gosh, I really need to see somebody, is that I know that sometimes you don't meet the right person first. Maybe they're a good therapist, but they're not the right one for you. Or maybe they're not a good therapist. There certainly is such a thing. And I was very reluctant because one of the reasons is because I was afraid that they were going to say, well, your problem is that you're religious, and let's cure you of that.
Right,
I didn't
right.
want to be cured of my faith. That's the last thing that I wanted. But I was afraid that I was going to be seen as some kind of fanatic because I have 10 children, and that kind of stands out. And I was afraid that people were that I would meet a therapist and they would say, well, you just need to stop feeling so guilty for your sins, which is not really what I needed to hear.
Right. Yeah, you're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. We are talking with Simca Fisher about her article in America Magazine, "I Thought Good Catholics Didn't Need Therapy, Then I Went." We're going to have more of our conversation after this break. Stay with us.
Now, back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. I am Carrie Weber, Executive Editor at America Magazine. I am joined by Father Matt Malone, our Editor-in-Chief, and Olga Segura, our Associate Editor. And we're speaking today with Simca Fisher, who is a writer for us at America. She's also the author of The Sinner's Guide to Natural Family Planning, and she's speaking with us today about her article on AmericaMagazine.org called "I Thought Good Catholics Didn't Need Therapy, and Then I Went." So Simca, in that essay, you write about the way you approached your faith both before and after going to therapy. And it's really a powerful description of sort of approaching faith, of having the feeling that your faith was actually maybe a little bit more empty before you went to therapy and a little bit more well-formed coming out of therapy or after some therapy. Can you sort of describe a little bit of that transformation?
Yeah, I think that I'm not unusual among Catholics in that I tried very, very hard to be a good Catholic, and I tried to cultivate the virtues, and I tried to say all the right prayers, and I tried to do all the right things, especially as a young mother when I was facing raising my own children in the faith. And it's only recently that I realized how much my faith focused on exteriors. I was trying to do all the right things and say all the right prayers, and I was trying to feel all the right things, which doesn't sound like an exterior thing, but it is kind of an exterior thing when you're trying to make yourself feel penitence or make yourself feel joy or make yourself feel gratitude to God or something like that. And these things are extremely hard to do when you're a mess on the inside. Everything is hard to do when you're a mess on the inside because, I don't think I need to explain why that is. I mean, anything that's not well organized and is not in good shape doesn't function properly. And the same is true for a soul, and the same is true for a mind. So, the way that I explained it is that a lot of people reject therapy because what they think of as therapy is really pop therapy, you know, short little articles in BuzzFeed or something, you know, do these 10 things for great mental health, and this person is toxic, so I don't have to have her in my life, and it's me time. That's what a lot of people think of as therapy. And these are very very facile, shallow exterior things, and if people reject that kind of therapy, well, then that's a good thing because that's not what it really is about. And the same is true for our faith, which is something that I didn't even realize was a trap that I was falling into, was trying to just sort of skip ahead to the end results of faith and just white-knuckling my way through to the virtues. And that's most certainly not the way that God wants us to do it. I mean, he talks about how he knows us. I'm gonna mangle the verse if I try and quote it from from memory, but he knows us before we were help me out here, before we were born,
before I knew you in your mother's womb. I knew you, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, that's the verse that I'm thinking of, and he wants us to know us ourselves in the same way that he knows us.
Right.
And so some introspection is a good thing. It's not vanity and it's not pettiness to come to learn who you are and who you are in God's eyes. And that's a big part of what therapy is just self-knowledge. And what you choose to do with that self-knowledge, that's where your faith comes in.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can go to a therapist and learn all kinds of things about yourself and then decide, oh, well, I'm going to do whatever I want. Or you can go to a therapist, whether it's a Catholic or not, and learn all kinds of things about yourself, why you are the way you are, what your thought patterns are, how you tend to respond to things. And then you can decide, how can I use this knowledge in the service of serving my fellow man and serving God better?
Right.
And that's, you know, with mixed results, what I'm trying to do.
And I think you make such an important point, Simca, in my own life, because that is kind of a an old chestnut about therapy, that that it's an exercise in narcissism. And I've known in my own life that, like, the best therapeutic experiences, like our experience of the sacraments, they're a journey inward, but they orient us outward if they're at their best.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they reconnect us with the world and open us up to the world. And I've certainly found that in my own life. And I would also say that it serves me well when I'm in pastoral ministry, or I'm in pastoral counseling with somebody. You know, I'm not doing therapy in those moments. I'm performing a different role as a priest, but my experience of therapy is there in the background. It's formed me for that experience in two ways. One, it's made me self-aware, right? So I'm more aware of you know, my own experience and what I'm feeling at any given moment in interacting with somebody. But it's also made me more sympathetic to people, you know,
right.
having confronted, you know, my own difficulties in both the spiritual or therapeutic setting, and experienced some healing. It makes me more sympathetic to people who are similarly struggling.
Right. And to understand that it's not just a matter of just shit. What's that old Bob Newhart routine where he says, "Stop it! Just stop it!" Therapists and people come and they explain their problems, and that's his therapeutic regimen.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is Saturday Night Live.
He's a devout Catholic, Bob Newhart.
Probably wasn't speaking directly from his faith in that particular.
Maybe not, though. He was a Loyola grad, so maybe some Jesuit said that to him.
But I have been in a confessional where that was, unfortunately, the priest's advice, just stop it, you know, because he clearly couldn't understand why it was that I was doing this stupid thing over and over again, clearly making me miserable, making everybody else miserable.
Right.
And I didn't know why I was doing it, and I was trying to stop.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, if you don't have the muscle, you can't flex the muscle. You have to build it up, and that takes a while. So, and sometimes you have to locate where that muscle is, you know, you can't, and that's a big part of what therapy does, is it shows you what's inside your own body. Well, and when I say body, I'm talking about your, boy, this metaphor is getting out of control. What I mean is that you learn how you function, and once you know how you function, then you can decide what to do. And as you say, it can be in the service of others. It can be outwardly focused. I mean, I have found, you know, I went into therapy because I was miserable, and now that I've been in therapy for a while, I've discovered that I'm making my husband less miserable.
Right.
I think that's been a very good thing, and I'm also, as you said, more able, more sympathetic to other people when I can identify that, gosh, people have in common. Everybody's suffering from something or other. Just about everybody has suffered one kind of wound or another. And it's very hard to love each other when we only see each other in terms of, you know, how this person is doing this bad thing to me and that person is not working with me. And it's a lot easier to be patient with them when you realize everybody is the walking wounded here.
Right.
And I happen to be a lucky one who has found some kind of healing, and I'm working on it. I have the ability and the privilege to be able to work on it. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people have been told since their childhood that it's a betrayal of their family to go to therapy, for instance. I heard that from somebody. They were told explicitly that to go into a room and to tell a stranger about your problems is a betrayal of your family. And it's really hard to get over stuff like that.
Right.
So,
and yet it's what we're supposed to do in the confessional, right? That's what strikes me, particularly among the Irish. That's also something,
yes,
that I've heard from time to time, like, oh, well, you can't,
right,
just go into
and
a room,
sure,
and tell a perfect stranger, like, what the secrets of your family. And you're like, well, wait a minute, that's what we do in church all the time.
right. And that's, I mean, the seal of the confessional is, it's not the same thing as the medical, what's the word?
The confidentiality.
It's certainly not exactly the same thing, but it is there for a reason. And I very, very much trust my therapist not to blab to anybody. That's the last thing that I'm worried about. So,
so Simca, has therapy changed the way you talk to your kids about mental illness and seeking out help if they need it?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the fact that they, at least some of them, know that I'm in therapy has been a pretty big thing, because they know that it's not a shameful thing and it's not a secret and it's not Well, I was going to say it's not just for weirdos, but I don't know if that actually probably think I'm a weirdo. But I think just being open about it, that this is something that people do and it's not a big deal, and I don't come home all shaking and tear stained or something. I just come home and I say, okay, now we're going to make lunch, and it's not. I think just being open about it and making it be a normal thing is in itself a huge thing. I think that a lot of people really, really struggle. If they struggle with the idea of themselves going to therapy, they struggle 10 times more with the idea of their kids going to therapy. And that's, you know, you could probably fill up a whole other show with that topic. But that, again, is something that I would really urge people to not reject out of hand just because it's scary or it might not work out well, or, you know, it's a scary and dangerous thing to think about sending your child into a room to talk with a stranger, a relative stranger, about very private things and not knowing what that person is going to tell your child.
Right. And but, I bet people are, you know, scared that, also of the reflection on them too. You know, it's hard as a parent,
yeah,
to say, well, you know, to not want to like have your ear against that door, I'm sure, and then just kind of put asterisks on things that kids say, or
right,
qualify
exactly
an experience to defend yourself when, it, you know, as parents, you don't always do things the way we think the way that we should, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I know, because if you say my kid needs help, you have to think, well, who screwed your kid up anyway?
Right.
And I think that,
right,
you know, I mean, that's one of the things that I have done in therapy, is to come to terms with the idea of, like, yeah, I did some things wrong with my kids. I was trying hard, but sometimes I did the wrong thing, and sometimes this made trouble for them. And it's 1,000 times better to admit that than it is to ignore it. I mean, it sounds so obvious, but,
right,
you know, the real failure would be not to do something about it, not to acknowledge, yes, I did something wrong and now I'm trying to fix it. That's not a failure. The real failure is to pretend that everything's okay.
Right, exactly. So, and to sometimes acknowledge too that, you know, not everything relates back to us either, that a kid could be having troubles,
yeah,
or problems and it isn't related to us, but it is up to us to help them out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, your kids are their own people. They're not some kind of extension of you. And sometimes things happen to your kids that's out of your control. Sometimes you did everything right or everything more or less right, and your kids have troubles anyway because they're individual human beings. They have free,
right,
will. They have their own DNA. They have their own mental makeup. And sometimes kids just need help. And I always urge people, if your child had a broken leg, you would take them to the doctor. If your child is having an emotional problem, you know, you're just not necessarily qualified to help them, and it's okay to ask for help for your kids. That's a loving service that you can perform for your kids. And it's a good idea to ask for recommendations from people. You know, you can ask your priest, you can ask Catholic Charities, you can ask your friends, you can ask on Facebook or whatever, you know, so you're not just going in there blind. But as I said before, really the only mistake is pretending that everything is okay.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and how long have you been in a relationship with a therapist?
Let me think. It's been about maybe 18 months or so.
Oh, great. Oh, good.
Yeah, oh. And I was, and I'm sort of looking toward the end here. I think we might be wrapping up. I'm assuming my therapist is not listening right now.
Right. Well, the you said in the article that he's not a Catholic, so he's probably not listening to the Catholic show.
Probably not. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your honesty and your transparency and sharing this story with our readers. And thanks for being on the show today.
That was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. Simca Fisher, the article is called "I Thought Good Catholics Didn't Need Therapy, Then I Went." And you can check that out at americamagazine.org, where you can actually find all of the content that we have talked about today, including this wonderful article about the fastest Catholic on earth, Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt.
Okay. Yep. I knew I was going to get that wrong. See, I've learned nothing in this hour. Right. And you can also check out the article by J. Kevin Appleby, "All U.S. Catholics Are Called to Oppose Mass Deportations Under Trump. Here's Why," which might be particularly worth revisiting in light of the news this morning. And I also want to put in a quick plug for this piece by Rob Weinert-Kent, which is now in on the homepage of America, Remembering Sam Shepard, America's Show Us Who We Really Are prophet. You have been listening to America This Week. Please check us out at americamagazine.org. And to subscribe to America, call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. For Olga Segura and Carrie Weber, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you and good day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.